الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين؟ أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟ صدق الله العظيم.
As in our last session, we were talking about some special qualities of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu that got him to that high status. And what a high status! Everyone in the Ummah tried to explain, and all the greatest scholars who ever talked about the subject, they tried to explain the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and it seems that everyone failed. And finally we find one of the scholars who was well known by Mujaddid al-Athani. You know that every century there is a person who is called a reformer, Mujaddid, according to the Hadith. So he was a person that scholars called him the Mujaddid at the head of the second century. He gave an explanation or at least an example to understand the status of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, if you have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing and have a mirror in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you see in the mirror, that's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Is exactly the image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except he does not have the nabuwa. In everything we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he says something or he asks Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu something, they both have the same opinion. They both are talking the same talk. They both are thinking the same way. Their approach is the same. And subhanAllah, there is no other word better than this just to say that just an image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that he did not have the nabuwa. And this is the reason. Last week I was mentioning some of the attributes of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that got him to that level of as-Siddiq and the level next to the nabuwa. We talked about the first quality, which was the greatest, and it still is the first step and the last step for every Muslim who would like to follow the deen of Allah and the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is following the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
not limited in ibadah, not limited in certain actions, in each and everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed in his life. And accordingly, we will be under the ayah, that ayah will be applicable to us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created the human being in the best form. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the highest status of human beings, the best form of human beings. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the highest in the degree of human beings. If you would like to see what type of human being the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would like to see, you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the type of human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to see. This is the reason he gives him the certificate. In Surah Al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the greatest morals. The creator of these manners, the creator of these morals is saying that you have the greatest of those. He knows everything what he has created. And out of everything that he has created, he said the best and the greatest are in this man. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the highest among Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in in following the steps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here is a point that I would like to mention. We have to keep it in mind. Many times we try to preserve some of our Islamic values and we feel that we have done great service to Islam, and accordingly I'm a great Muslim. We perform some ibadahs and we feel that we are great Muslims. If we look back at Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, I would just like to remind you of one thing that will make us realize what is a good person and what type of person we need to protect Islam and to preserve the values of deen, the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's turn to take over and fight every enemy of Islam or everything that is trying to hurt Islam, that was the time when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made a statement. I can never translate that statement word by word with the feelings of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the way Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu put it to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. But the message was that as long as Islam is not more important to us than not our lives, not more than our wives, not more than our children, our wealth, he says, is too great, Islam is too great to talk about it and how important it should be. He says, as long as each and every dot of Islam is not more important to us than everything in our life, till that time we cannot protect Islam. Not Islam. Not the honor of Islam. Not the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not Quran. Not the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because these things are too great to talk about. He says, as long as each and every dot of Islam is not more important to us than our lives, than our honor, our wealth, our families, we have no value and we have no way to understand what Islam is about, and we can never protect and preserve Islam. A single dot of Islam has so much value. To us, the whole Islam may not have that much value. We are destroying Islam with our own hands, day by day. We are destroying this building, this structure that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built over the period of 23 years by sacrificing many of his family members, many of Sahaba, many of his great companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And here we are
the followers and the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who with our own hands are destroying this structure of Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was number one. No claims, but action. Today there are claims, but no action. Then the second thing we find him, as-Siddiq. And we talked about that also in our previous session. The third thing we find in Rasulullah, in Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is what we would call it taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so much in this man. Umar radiallahu anhu says, once I went to the masjid, and I saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the middle of the night standing in the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulling his tongue. I asked him, what's the matter of Abu Bakr? He was crying and pulling his tongue. I asked him, what's the matter of Abu Bakr? He said, inna hadha awrada lil mawarid. This tongue had really destroyed me. As-Siddiq is saying, this tongue had really destroyed me. This tells us how much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he had in his heart. That he's getting a guarantee from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and every person in the ummah is calling him with that guarantee, with that name, As-Siddiq. But his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still does not let him rest. A person like me will think, I can do something else now. Let me just do some extra nawafil because this thing has been guaranteed by the Prophet of Allah. But no, he's pulling the same thing that was guaranteed. As-Siddiq sidq is all done with the tongue. And here he says, no, this is the thing that's destroying me. I have to work more on this tongue. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so much in this man. That once he saw a bird, subhanallah, people who have special feelings in their heart, they get lessons from everything. He's walking in the street, he sees a bird sitting on a tree. It's normal for us, we see them day and night. He looks at that bird, and all of his companions, his followers, were standing beside him. They look at him, and they see the tears falling off his eyes. What happened, Abu Bakr? Is there any special story with this bird, or with the tree, or with this place? He says, no. I looked at the bird. And I'm thinking, see how bad is Abu Bakr, how many wrong things he might be doing in his life. Look at this bird, how nice he is. As he dies, he never worries about hisab, about any judgment. I wish if I was this bird. This is why I'm looking at this bird. I wish if I was this bird. In another occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I wish if I was a hair on a body of a mu'min. Who's saying this? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I wish if I was a hair on a body of a mu'min. I wasn't a human being, I would be just a hair on the body of another believer who would be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I would be just a hair on his body, who will get the satisfaction of the ibadah by him doing the ibadah. And this leads us to another quality of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and it's always a rule of the life. The more humble the person is, the greater that person will become. And the more arrogant the person is, this is how down he will go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned this rule in the hadith where he says, man tawadha lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. whoever will humble himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will always exalt his status. This is something that we may call it ikhlas. Purifying the intention. Sincerity. And the more we have of this quality, the more we will be able to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, arrogance is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is my sheep. Arrogance, which means greatness, is my sheep. If a person tries to be arrogant, he's pulling my sheep off me. The person's responsibility is to be humble, because you are an abd, you are a servant. And therefore you have to humble yourself, put yourself down. As you try to exalt yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, exalting oneself is my quality, and I'm al-kabir, I'm al-ali, I'm al-muta'al, and you are pulling my sheet away and trying to put it on your shoulders, I will never allow you to get anything from my blessings in Jannah. I'll just send you to the other direction. This is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and he swears by God when he's saying that, that a person who has an atom of arrogance will not go to Jannah. Subhanallah. An atom of arrogance. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من خردل من كبر. Autumn of arrogance will prevent the person from going to Jannah. And scholars have explained this hadith. They say because arrogance is something, is such a bad nature that it can never go to Jannah. So the person has to go to the hellfire and get that thing washed of his heart. And then only he is able to go to Jannah, because without washing him with the washing that arrogance with the fire of hell, there is no other way of cleaning it over there. Either clean it in this life or go over there and get it cleaned by the fire of hell. And this humbleness that makes Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu feel, the greatest man is feeling that all the other people are better than me. Therefore he feels and he says that I wish if I was a hair on a body of a mu'min. And this is the reason. We find throughout his life, not a single time that he would hurt someone. And he would not apologize to that person. You know, we are all human beings. We would do something always. Of course, we find only few of those occasions in Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's life. If I recall correctly, throughout the ahadith, we find only three occasions that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did something that would hurt someone else's feeling. And all of these three times, he would go and apologize to that person. He would knock at that person's door. He will beg that person to forgive him. This is the humbleness. This is what makes the person great. And we try to be great, and this is what's putting us down. Because we would like to be great. Another quality of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was something that we normally, even the great people amongst us, are missing these qualities. And that was the combination of fulfilling the rights of Allah and rights of people. This combination is very difficult to have. Some people are totally on one extreme, totally in serving the people, trying to do service to public, and these type of social services, and totally away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the ibadahs. On the other hand, we find some people who are very deep in the ibadah, but day and night in the masajid, they don't know how to help people. If people really need them, they still won't help those people. So two extremes, and none of them is really the deen. Of course, it's part of the deen. This is part of the deen, this is part of the deen. And this is the reason many times we find people who would say, look at this person. He does Hajj. He performs so many Hajj. He did so many. He does. He's always in the masjid. And you see him reading Quran, reading Tasbih, doing all of this. And still he does all of these things. Because he's only on one side of it. He has chosen one corner of Islam and is sitting just in that corner. He doesn't know what's going on in the other three corners of Islam. There is another person sitting totally on the opposite corner of this man. And he doesn't know what is salah. He doesn't know nothing about the ibadahs. All this people, person knows is, oh, you know, there is so much virtue for social service and doing the public work and all of this. And you see this person day and night running after those things. He also has picked one of the corners of Islam and doesn't know about the rest of it. There are some people you find them sitting in the middle. That's not good either. Of course, nowadays might be a best person who's sitting in the middle because we are so far away from our deen. Sitting in the middle means this person takes a little bit from there, a little bit from here. He does the social service also. He does some salah also. Sometimes he misses the salah. He's sitting in the middle. But we find Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in all four corners. Every corner you go, you find Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu standing there. You get surprised how fast you can go from one corner to another corner, but this is the quality that he has developed in him. And I would narrate an amazing hadith to you. A hadith that I don't see any other person will have such a virtue and will have such a guarantee from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of such a high status of being in all of these four corners of Islam at the same time and all the times. Once, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in were sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, is there anyone who have performed Salatul Janazah today? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ana ya Rasulullah, I did it ya Rasulullah. Is there anyone who's fasting today? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ana ya Rasulullah, yes, I'm fasting ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَنْ أَطْعَمَ مِسْكِينَ. Is there anyone who fed a poor person today? Ya Rasulullah, yes, today I went and fed some poor people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is there anyone who have visited a sick person today? Yes, ya Rasulullah, I did. Every question, and here we find Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I did it. One, in the morning, he's sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before 10 o'clock, he has done with all of these things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever Muslim will do all of these things in one day, he surely will go to Jannah. In another hadith, very beautiful hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was asked, he was mentioning to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in that there are different doors of the Jannah. So he was explaining that there are 8 doors. One door is for those people who are very good in Salah and these things, so those people will be called from the door of Salah. There is another door that's called Babur Riyan, is for those people who are good in fasting, a lot of nafl fasting and these things. And he's explaining all the doors. So after he went through all the doors, now all the Sahaba are satisfied that Alhamdulillah, now we know that at least we can grab one of those doors and we can run to one of those doors. And a unique question was asked, and of course the person who asked that type of question has to be Abu Bakr. He said, Ya Rasulullah, is there anyone who will be invited to enter from all 8 doors? Is there anyone who will be invited from all 8 doors? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, and that will be you, O Abu Bakr. All eight doors of the Jannah will be inviting you, and each door will be hoping that Abu Bakr will go to Jannah through me. All the angels at the door are waiting that we want Abu Bakr to go from our side.
This is what I was mentioning. At all the corners of Islam, you go to any corner of Islam, you find him there. So therefore, all the doors have to invite him that Abu Bakr, please, this is your door.
And this is a unique quality. Of course, all the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een had that quality, but in different levels. The highest of that level was, of course, the teacher of all, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and among the followers, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And then all the Sahaba got it according to their status and closeness to their to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These were in brief some special qualities of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Something that we have to consider, we have to ponder in, and we have to try to develop these things in our lives. And finally, in the 11th year, 12th year, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu started getting sick. He became Khalifa in the 11th year. His total Khilafah was 2.5 years. He was 2.5 years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he spent a good time while he was sick. But especially the last 15 days of his life, he was very sick. And subhanAllah, we find that the similar type of disease he had, as just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, started from a headache going to a fever. Imam Tabari rahmatullahi alayhi have narrated in his history that although it was natural that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wanted to go at the same time as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the same age of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always chooses some incidents for these things so that people, most of the people, will just look at the outlook of it, at the incidents, and feel that this is the reason. And one of the reasons of his death was a Jew invited him or brought some food to him. In those days, they never used to get too much rice in Arabia. So that person brought some rice to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, but those rice were poisoned. And accordingly, he gets another sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, he was mentioning that today I feel in my body something is eating up my heart. And I feel that this is the effect of the poison that I was fed in Khaybar. And here Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu gets also poisoned. And then he knew that these are his last days, so he started preparing for the Khilafah, to assign someone as his Khalifa. Inshallah, in our next session, we will talk about how did he assign the Khalifa. And especially, I found a very important khutbah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that he gave it to Umar radiallahu anhu, is a wasiyah, is an advice from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to Umar radiallahu anhu, who was going to be the Khalifa after him, is a very important advice and really gives us some reflection of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's life, that how did he spend his life and how did he like the next Khulafa to spend their lives in this world. Inshallah, we'll talk about those in our next sessions. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.